Okay, let's get our Bibles out, everybody. Okay, we just prayed the Lord's Prayer, right? And let's just rehearse that a little bit. Our Father, right, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy... Hold it. Did you mean that? That last part. You prayed it. How many times do you think you prayed the Lord's Prayer? Oh, but Jimmy, because he's like 20 or something, he gets carded or whatever. I mean, how many pray that a significant amount of time? How many remember? You memorized it, right? It's one of those things you memorized. They put a star by your name when you could do it, right? And then you got confirmed. Remember? Anybody remember the other one? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. How many remember doing those kind of things, right? And you just said, thy will be done, but do you mean it? How many mean it? See, that's good because not everybody's hand goes up. But for those of you who mean it, what is it? That's a good question too, right? See, it's easy to say, I want your will to be done when you don't know what it is. True? I mean, hey, it's easy. Your will be done. Well, what's your will? Go to Dairy Queen after church. Hey, I'm all over it. But what's his will? I mean, surely, what's his will? We can do like a little test here today, and I could ask you, what's his will? We all pray it, right? Thy will be done. Okay, what's his will? Does anybody know what it is for you? I get a lot of blank stares at me. Get a lot of people going, go to church? What is it? You see, the interesting thing about that is hardly anybody knows. But we pray it. Isn't that cool? Mark, I mean, thy will be done. Okay, but what is it? I want it to be done, but what is it? Huh? Make disciples. That's pretty cool. What is it? What is his will in general, universal terms? His will in general, universal terms for all of his creation. What is it? Who? What?
To love everybody.
To love everybody? That's cool. To know who said that? To know him. That's certainly one of them. What's the other? What is his will for every one of God's people who's ever been born on the face of the earth? What's his will? To spread the word? To be saved. That's it. To be saved. It is God's desire that not one single person should what?
Perish.
So his universal will, his global will for everybody is to be saved. To come to who? Jesus Christ. How many say, yeah, that makes a lot of sense, right? Surely his first part of his will was that no one should perish and everybody should come to Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, accept him as Lord and Savior of their life. That's his will. True? But what about after you've done that? What's his will then? What's his will for those of us that have done that part of his will, now what? And I am amazed, really, truly, how many of disciples don't know. What is it? How many want his will to be done in your life? But so what is it? That's pretty cool, to be the best person. And you know what? That's not too bad of an answer. That's not too bad of an answer. To be the best person you could be, that's not too bad. That's pretty close. To be the best person you could be in Christ is to be as Christ-like as you can possibly be. Right? Now, certainly there is some of his will that is clearly defined. And we're going to go over some of that today. Clearly defined. So turn in your Bibles, please. And we're going to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 to 18. And you know, sometimes I probably go faster than I'm giving you the opportunity to find it, and that's my fault, and I'm going to try to slow down a little bit on that. But I'm getting antsy because I only got 25 minutes. And I'm going through withdrawal right now, Sue, and I'm starting to shake internally. 25 minutes! I used to do that. 20 minutes. How many know I don't do that anymore? Whatever. Go ahead.
Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks.
Hey, there's three wills. Go ahead, keep going.
For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you.
Three wills right there. Do you see them? There's three of them right there. That's the will. That's three of them right there. What's the first one? Rejoice always. What's the second one? Pray without ceasing. What's the next one?
Thank God.
How you doing? There's three of them right there. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything give
thanks.
There's three. There's three of them. So some of them are pretty clearly spoken for us, right? If we were doing those things, rejoicing always, praying without ceasing, and everything give thanks, would we be better people? Probably. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3.
For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality.
Well, there's one. This is God's will, right? That we should abstain from sexual immorality. There's one. How many understand that? We don't need me to explain that to you, right? There's one. Another one we'll find in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15.
For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men.
Okay, there's one. What is that one? To do good. And so, in the next weeks, probably six of them or so, depending on what else we're doing in our service, I'm going to go through what is God's will for who? The believers. Us. For disciples. What is God's will for the disciple? How many are disciples? What is His will for us? What is His will for all of mankind? What is His will for us as believers? What are we supposed to do? What does God expect from us? When all of you disciples got up this morning, what did God expect of you? Sue? Spread the word. Sure. Did He expect us to go to church? Is that His will, go to church? Some people were... It's a tricky question, huh? Even unbelievers go to church, don't they? Even they go to church. No. That's not specifically His will. Could we not be at home worshiping?
Yes.
All right, so what is His will for us? The first will that we're going to talk about for all of us believers is this. Rejoice. Always. That's the hard part. Come on, let's be grown-ups today. Let's be real. I can rejoice, but always? Always? How many have a hard time with the always part? How many of you have joyful moments? Joyful moments, right? But a joyful life? All the time? That's hard stuff, right? Last Sunday after church, I went and picked up one of my friend Butch's motorcycle for him. He got a Harley Davidson Sportster. He was joyful when I put that in his driveway. I see the joyfulness. He went, oh. And I was just praying, Lord, let me get this thing to his house. It was freezing cold outside. But how many of you know he won't be joyful the first time it breaks down? Right? We have joyful moments. But we are to have a joyful what? Life. How are we going to pull that off? Turn to Ecclesiastes. That's in the Old Testament. Ecclesiastes. It's in the Old Testament. Check around Psalm and Proverbs. It's like in the middle of the Bible somewhere. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9.
Rejoice, O young man, in your youth, and let your heart cheer you in the days of your youth. Walk in the ways of your heart, and in the sight of your eyes. But know that for all these, God will bring you into judgment.
First thing that we need to rejoice in, as we learn to rejoice always, the first thing to be rejoicing in our endeavor to rejoice when?
Always.
Is to start to say, okay, in the always part of my life, what are the things that make up the always? Mary said it, everything. So let's take apart the everything. The first thing in the everything is rejoice in your youth. Now, there's going to be some folks who are going to say they wish they was as young as Jimmy Fong that he just testified to. But I'm going to let Jimmy Fong know he's half a century old. How many know 50 years is half a century? And I just want to make sure Jimmy Fong clearly understands, if the life expectancy of a man is 80, you're halfway done, Jim. You're on the downside of the roller coaster. I don't care whether they called you or not. You're on the downside of the roller coaster. Rejoice in your youth. Come here, Sarah. Please. Sarah, I hate when he does that to me. Now, this is my dear friend, Sarah Rogers. Everybody say hi to Sarah. I remember Sarah when she was this big. She's now taller than me, which is not cool. Kathy. Come here, Kathy. No, this is going to be cool. This is good stuff. Over this side, Sarah, Kathy. No, you stay here. This is Kathy. This is her ma. Everybody say hi to Kathy. Kathy and Sarah. Now, clearly, one of these are younger than the other one. It's clear. Certainly, she must be the younger because she's the daughter. That makes perfect sense, right? Now, the question is, which of these two can be rejoicing in their youth?
Both.
I hear both of them.
Both.
See, some people would think who?
Sarah.
Her. Because you're what, 21? We would think her because she's 21. And Kathy had her when she was very young. She's 31. So you would think, really, that Sarah is the one that should be rejoicing in her youth and not Kathy. Everybody see how this works? That's not true, though. Both should be rejoicing in their youth. Okay, go have a seat. Thank you. So how can you rejoice in your youth? Now, there's my ma right there. Say hi, ma. Hi, ma. There's my ma, and I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. If she does, I won't get a birthday present. She's 82. And I will be 62. And you'll be 72. So which of the three of us should be rejoicing in our youth? Now, this is a tricky question. This should be a tricky question because you're thinking, well, your mom's 82 and Mary's 72 and I'll be 62. You might be saying, none of you guys should be rejoicing in your youth. That's not true. All of us. This is fascinating. The other day, somebody dropped something on the floor of one of the centers that I work at. This is a true story. True story. In one of the centers I worked at. And I simply went down, I picked it up, and I hand, and somebody said, oh my gosh, you got back up. I'm serious. One of the participants, and one day said, oh my gosh, you got back up. I said, well, I get back up every day. You know, I can get down, and I can get up. I can do that. When is the last time you thank God that you could get down and get back up? How many know that's something to celebrate, right? And you may say, well, my mom can't get down and she can't get back up. That's true, but she walked in here. Isn't that something to celebrate? So when's the last time you took the opportunity to thank God and rejoice? And rejoice that you had enough youthfulness to get up and get going. How many got that going on for you today? She should be rejoicing in that. Rejoice in the Lord that you still have some stuff that's able to get you up and get you going. Now, it's true most of us can't go out there and run a marathon like Bob can, which I don't think he's going to. A half marathon. But I heard somebody say that you're going to outrun your daughter. I can't believe Jen's going to let that happen. Does Jen know that that belief is out there? She's not going to beat you, Bob?
She said it.
She said it?
Yeah.
Okay.
She does. It's on Facebook.
And the youthfulness is that Bob's going to attempt to run a marathon. Rejoice in your youth, right? Sissy and I are going to do one, too. I don't know which one. Might be 10 years from now we're going to do it. In your youthfulness. Rejoice in your youthfulness. How many know this cliche? You're only as old as you feel. Now, I know some of you are going to say, but Pastor Tom, well, you were doing good that you said that. I feel like I'm 95. Well, whose fault is it you feel like you're 95? Whitey?
Your own.
If you get up and you say to yourself, well, I feel so old. The problem wasn't what you just said. Right, Glenn? I what? I feel. Well, don't feel like you're old anymore. Get up and start moving. Go do something. So the first thing that we can do in the everything and in rejoicing with our lives always, the first thing you need to rejoice in your youthfulness. I don't care if you're 82, you're 62, or 72, or 22. Rejoice. Rejoice. Everybody take your hand, put it up like this. Your right hand, put it up like this. Who's rejoicing in just doing that? You know there's some people, Sue. Sue, what? There's some people, Sue, that can't do that. Did you know that? There's some people that can't do that. Who's rejoicing because you could do that? When's the last time you said, God, I can raise my right hand? Praise God for that. I'm serious. Everybody raise your left hand. Who's praising God? You can do that. Praise God in your youthfulness. Praise God. Who's got half a brain left? How many thanking God you got a half a brain left? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're probably the reason why I only got a half of one left. I don't know. These two, see? Ecclesiastes, same book, chapter 3. Verses 12 to 13.
I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God.
Wow. Check this out. Rejoice in your work. Rejoice in your work. How many know this song? I owe. So off the work I go. Who knows that song? Isn't that a great song, Judy? I owe. So off the work I go. I mean, rejoice because you got to go to work? Yeah. Yeah. Rejoice because you got to do something? Yeah. You see, this is where the difference starts to come in the everything. You see, the rejoicing always thing that Mary so eloquently said, well, that's everything, rejoice in everything. Well, you were right with me when I said, hey, can you raise your hand? Oh, thank God I can raise my hand. Thank God I can go down and get up. Oh, thank you, Jesus. You were all with me, so I said, now rejoice that you got a job. Oh, you don't understand. Try not having one. I mean, you don't understand where I work. You don't understand the people that I work with. You don't understand. Well, you're probably right. I don't understand. You're probably right because I don't work where you work. That's true. And I certainly know that there are places that you could walk into and the place could change you. I know that. How many know places like that? When you can work in such an environment that just place just taints you and changes your whole attitude. Shauna's going, and there are places that you could go, oh my God. But you know what? I also know people that can walk into a place and change the place. Amen. I know people like that too. You see, I know places that can change you. But I know people can change the place too. Which one are you? See, that's what you have to decide. See, what you have to decide, is that place going to change you? Is that place going to affect you that badly? Or are you going to be the place changer? See, I know people that can walk into a place and give that place a couple months, that place will be different. I know people that are so infectious on life, they can go in and make everybody be changed. How many know people like that? Which one are you? See, if you're not the rejoice always kind of person, the place will change you. The place will change you. Because you know what? People in some places where you work have that dreaded disease called optic anilitis, and you don't ever want to catch it, because if you catch it, you are in deep trouble. Optic anilitis. You heard that, Sue, didn't you? Sue's going, oh, yes. It's not in all the medical books, but it should be. Optic anilitis. It's when your optic nerve crosses with your anal nerve, you have a crappy outlook. How about it, Glenn? You're all laughing at me. I'm serious. How many know people that got crappy outlooks? See, you know they caught it. They got it. What's it called, Christina? Optic analitis. It's when your optic nerve... Say it again, Christina, your southern draw. What's it called? Come on, Christina.
Optic analitis.
That's it. Everybody say that with me. One, two, three. Optic analitis. One more time.
Optic analitis.
Oh my God, you'll do anything. This is crazy. It's when your optic nerve crosses with your anal nerve, and what do you get? A crappy outlook. And it's catchy. I'm serious. You sit next to somebody at lunchtime that's got optic analitis, guess what? Before the end of the year, guess what? You got it. It starts this way. Well, this place is terrible. Yeah, you're right. Do you know they have the air conditioner turned on here only at 69? It should be 68. This place is horrible. Horrible. You know we only get a half hour lunch. This is horrible. Horrible. Did you know sometimes it's unbelievable? I have no place to park. I got to go across the street. This place is horrible. Horrible. You know I only get 3 weeks vacation? This is terrible. My medical insurance, you know they're making me pay $20 each time I go to the doctor. It's horrible. Really? How many know you sit next to somebody I got long enough, guess what? You're going to catch it. You'll catch it every single time. You know why? Because optic analitis not only causes, you know, crappy outlook, it causes stinking thinking. Oh, it does. Stinking thinking. You know anybody's got stinking thinking? And you know when you catch stinking thinking, you know what it causes, Eric? Hardening of the attitudes. I'm serious. If you get hardening of the attitudes, guess what? You need to check up from your neck up. Now, there are people who have this. And they're the people that can change you. When you walk into a place and everybody has optic analitis, and they have stinking thinking, and they have hardening of the attitudes, it won't be long till you're going to be falling prey to that dreaded disease. You walk and say, this place is terrible. I hate it. I hate my life. It's so terrible. A woman one time said she hates her job. Hates her job. I hate everything about it. I hate my life. I'd rather put hot pokers in my eyes than go back there one more time. How many ever had a job like that? So you ask the person, oh, everything sucks. Oh, it's really bad. Oh, it's terrible. You get paid where you work? Well, of course I get paid. You'd rather work for free? Well, of course not. Well, that's one thing. Do you have benefits where you work? Well, of course I have benefits. You'd rather work someplace don't give you benefits? No, of course not. That's two. You get a vacation? Well, of course I get a vacation. Three. Do you work inside or outside? I work inside. You'd rather work outside? No, of course not. That's four. Do you have heat in the winter? Well, of course. You'd rather be cold? No, that's five. You got air conditioning in summer? Well, of course I do. That's six. Do you have parking spot? Well, of course I do. That's seven. If you think long enough, guess what? You're more blessed than you think.
Amen.
You're more blessed than you think. I had somebody just this morning come up to me and say, Pastor Tom, I'm really having a really bad day. I said, why are you having a bad day? And this person said, because I may not have my government assistance. If I don't get my government assistance, I may be out of place. You want to change places? Anybody trade places? How many's glad you got a job?
Amen.
Rejoice in your work. And don't tell me about your place where you work. You tell me about you. I don't want to know about the place where you work. I want to know about you. Are you changing the place where you work, or is the place where you work changing you? You see, people of God, you ain't going to be changed. If anybody's being changed, guess what? It's going to be you. The Apostle Paul one time, and I'll end with this before they change me and pull the plug on me. The Apostle Paul one time was complaining because he was always breaking out of jail. Always breaking out of jail. All the time. And the last time they got arrested, they were sick and tired of that. And so they took a Roman guard and they handcuffed him to Paul. And everywhere that Paul went, he went with them. He went together to the bathroom, the guard went with him. He went down to sleep, the guard laid next to him. He went to eat, the guard ate with them. He couldn't go anywhere without that Roman centurion being handcuffed to his side. Imagine that. Imagine that. Everywhere you go, you took somebody's guard with you. And Paul cried out, Lord, why did you handcuff that guy on me? I want to do all this ministry, and this guy is following me everywhere I go. Come on, God. Why'd you handcuff him on me? And God said, oh, you got it wrong, Paul. I didn't handcuff him on you. I handcuffed you on him. There's your ministry, Paul. Preach. Amen. You know the pain in the butt person that's sitting next to you? Preach. You know the person where you go and you have lunch when you can't stand? Guess what you're supposed to do, Whitey? Preach. You know the person in the bus that sits next to you every morning you can't stand? What are you supposed to do, Glenn? Preach. That's your ministry. That's your job. Don't wait until God sends you all the wonderfully beautiful people in the world. You ain't going to be preaching me if I'm next to the bus on you. You'll be preaching to me if I'm sitting down having lunch to you. Preach to the other person. And guess what it says in Scripture? The Roman guard got saved. Imagine being handcuffed to Paul. Imagine talking about a Jesus freak, Bible thumping, card carrying, Bible toting, Scripture quoting kind of guy. Imagine being handcuffed to Paul. Can you imagine that? That's not me. It's worse than me. It's Paul. But says the Roman guard got saved. And they said, oh, we can't have any of this. So they unhandcuffed him. And guess what? They put another one on him. Guess what? He got saved. They said, oh, what is going on? Give me somebody stronger. Handcuffed him. And guess what? He got saved. One at a time, the whole Roman guard got saved. You see, rejoice. Rejoice when?
Always.
Always. Let's pray, Father. We thank you so much, Lord, for the ministry opportunities that we have. And Lord, as we continue to grow and mature in our faith and we learn there's more to this than just going to church on a Sunday morning. There is more to life than just going to church on a Sunday morning. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of evolving. It's a way of living our lives. It's a way to come alive and have the abundant life that we are supposed to have. Oh, Lord, life is not easy, but it sure is joyful. So, Lord, as we continue to open up this envelope of rejoicing, help us to practice it today. That when we leave this place, that we go with rejoicing in our hearts. Lord, we just ask for that opportunity to learn to look at our life a little differently. We have so much to be thankful for. A lot of God's people said, how many got at least one thing to be thankful for? One thing. Who's got one thing to be thankful for? Do you know that you are more thankful than 57% of the world? Sue, with one thing. One thing, Whitey. 57% of the world, we're more blessed than they could. We have one thing. How many have far more than one thing? You're the upper 2%. Upper 2% of the world if you have more than one thing to be thankful for. So next week we'll go into more rejoicing because I'll be rejoicing because I'll have more time.